It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It is day 41 of the longest government shutdown in U.S. history. Democrats and Republicans have been locked in a stalemate over health care funding. There was some movement toward a deal on a short-term spending bill over the weekend, but it still faces hurdles.
Democrats in the Senate had been voting against an appropriations bill unless Republicans agreed to extend COVID-era subsidies for health insurance through the Affordable Care Act marketplace. If those subsidies expire, Wisconsinites who get their insurance through the marketplace would see their premiums rise, in some cases drastically.
In this shutdown, 1 million federal workers are either furloughed or working without pay, and food assistance programs have been on and off again after a series of court challenges.
On Thursday, we talked with U.S. Representative Mark Pocan, Democrat, who represents a Madison area district. Today, we're joined by Republican U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. Senator Johnson, welcome back to Wisconsin Today.
Good morning. Hope you're doing well.
You too. Now, we've got this apparent deal reached yesterday, short-term funding for a couple months, a few appropriations that would go for a year, and a scheduled potential health care vote. You're kind of reporting live for us, Senator Johnson. How close is the Senate to an agreement and finalizing this?
Well, again, this is a test vote, but it's a motion to proceed, and we got 60 votes. So you'd assume the process should close out pretty quick. Now, if you have to go through all the time, may not be till Wednesday or Thursday. Hopefully, the Democrats will yield back time with the time agreement, and we could maybe get this done today so the House can come back in and open government within the next couple of days. So, you know, again, I think it's obvious that this shutdown is going to end, which is a good thing. It is kicking the can down the road. You know, what's going to happen on February 1st when this continuing resolution runs out, which is why I continue to promote the Eliminate Shutdowns Act. If you had that as a referendum for Americans, it'd probably be passed by 90% plus. Short of that, the Shutdown Fairness Act is what I've been trying to pass for the last 2 weeks. Just pay the people that we're forcing to work. I've made all kinds of accommodation, added furloughed workers, you know, modified language to clarify we weren't creating a slush fund. I wasn't able to do that in three tries over the last 2 weeks. But anyway, I think this will end this phase of it. But we haven't fixed the structural problem. We've got a real problem with the appropriation process. The ultimate solution is a very simple bill, the Eliminate Shutdowns Act. Every Democrat voted against that. We even had some Republican appropriators, because appropriators apparently like these shutdowns. It creates the pressure to pass bills that spend money we can't afford. But we got to break this logjam. This is unacceptable that we put federal workers and the American people through this. Multiple times a year, Ben.
I wanted to ask about the Eliminate Shutdowns Act. What would be the mechanism if this bill were to become law, if this proposal were to go through, to effectively end shutdowns?
It's basically modeled in what Wisconsin does. We passed this in the 50s. If you haven't done an appropriation, you don't shut government down. You just funded at last year's levels. It's that simple. Now, again, the mechanism for it is it sets up rolling 14-day continuing appropriations. So that gives, you know, the appropriators said, oh, it's going to undercut the appropriation process. No, it doesn't. It just gives you time to reach agreement where you can reach agreement, and where you can't, you don't shut down that department. You just fund it at last year's levels, which ought to be adequate, right? Now, there's always going to be pressure to do an appropriation because everybody seems to want to always spend more. So it doesn't undercut the appropriation process. It just ends shutdowns for all time. There's no partisan advantage here whatsoever. You can claim, well, it's going to restrain spending. Well, is that a bad thing? Again, the appropriators can always pass appropriation bills. It does nothing to hamper their efforts whatsoever.
Looking ahead now, assuming that this passes the Senate, the House signs on, the president signs on, this notion that there's going to be a vote in December on health care subsidies under the Affordable Care Act marketplace, what are your thoughts on that? Is there some kind of subsidy extension that you could get behind, or are you a no vote right off the bat?
I think Democrats have made a huge mistake because they've highlighted what a miserable failure Obamacare has been. I held a hearing this week assessing the damage done by Obamacare. You've consolidated these industries. We've got a chart out there now. United Healthcare stock price is up 1,177%. Of the top seven carriers, the lowest percent increase in stock price is 414%. Now, this is while inflation has increased 39%. Premiums, state by state, have increased on average 169%, 4.3 times the rate of inflation. Now, they've hit it all, they've masked it all with these massive subsidies. They're trying to make everybody believe that all these subsidies go away. No, we just go back to Obamacare's original flawed design. The vast majority of the 20-some million people on the exchanges will continue to get subsidies, and the subsidy dollar amount will actually increase because premiums are increasing 26% this year because of Obamacare. So I know I threw a lot of figures out there, but we're going to be able to explain that to the American public. I'll probably be down on the floor of the Senate today with a couple new charts laying all this out. We've got less than a couple million people affected. Their subsidy goes away. They make more than 400% of the poverty line, which means as a couple, more than $123,000, their subsidy goes away. I've actually got a great deal of sympathy for those people. But it was interesting in that hearing, assessing damage, the Democrat witness was a mom from Wisconsin. She was actually a victim of Obamacare. She had her employer drop coverage because of Obamacare in 2016, had to sign up for a silver plan, paid $1,000 a month, couldn't afford it, had to switch to a bronze plan with a deductible of $14,000. When I was buying insurance, that was a catastrophic care plan. Those were dirt cheap. But anyway, $14,000. Her husband and her, because they had medical bills, had to take out an $18,000 home equity line of credit. That's how awful the Obamacare plan was that they could afford. So again, we're going to be able to highlight all this. She was a victim of Obamacare, and yet my ranking member said, I don't know anybody that's been harmed by Obamacare. It's because you're denying reality. We're going to force the American public, we're going to force Democrats to acknowledge the reality. Obamacare has been a miserable failure.
So the answer on whether you'd vote to sustain subsidies in some form?
No, listen, I'm open to working with Democrats to repair the damage done by Obamacare, transition to a system that works. And I've got a great deal of sympathy for that less than a couple million people who lose their subsidies. I'm willing to do something as a bridge for those folks if we open up government. But we've got to have dramatic changes to Obamacare so we actually have a system that doesn't continue to drive, you know, skyrocket premiums masked by hundreds of billions of dollars of subsidies flowing into the insurance companies.
And if you were to take another look at the Affordable Care Act or the federal health care laws in general, what would you like to see in place of, in addition to, as a partial change to the Affordable Care Act?
Well, the worst thing that the Obamacare did is they outlawed the high-risk pools that could have been modified to make sure that everybody with pre-existing conditions would get covered. It wouldn't have taken much modification. The high-risk pools worked great. Some states didn't fund them properly. Fine, we should look at the best models. Wisconsin actually had a very good model. Again, wasn't perfect, had to be tweaked to cover pre-existing conditions. We need to bring those things back and then allow Americans to have the freedom to buy whatever kind of health care plan they want. Association plans, catastrophic plans, short-term plans. But again, we go back to the way the insurance model was before Obamacare completely broke it on the individual market. By the way, employer-sponsored care is not as affected by Obamacare. That's up about 74%, double the rate of inflation, again, because the influences of Obamacare consolidating these industries. So again, Obamacare screwed everything up, not as bad on the employer-sponsored insurance plans, but horrible for those people on the exchanges.
Talking to U.S. Senator Ron Johnson as a shutdown-ending deal appears to be in sight. Senator Johnson, last week we had U.S. Representative Mark Pocan, Democrat, on the show to talk about the shutdown. He said whatever deal comes out of this, whatever funding gets passed, he said Democrats want to guarantee that the president and Republicans wouldn't back out of the deal, citing past actions by the president when it comes to congressionally approved funding. Here's a listen.
Yeah, I think in general we have to figure out how to get some actual language or a vote, or quite honestly, some protection for the funds that we'd be passing so the president doesn't just continue stealing them, which he doesn't have the legal authority to do.
Citing past examples where the president had not spent congressionally authorized or mandated money. Is that a concern for you as we head potentially toward a deal here?
I think in most cases, President Trump has won in his court challenges. Again, he's definitely pressing the envelope to try and rein in the size of government and its destructive force on our economy. He's winning most of those court challenges. He's lost a couple, but basically Representative Pocan is just wrong, doesn't know what he's talking about.
The filibuster. You have said recently that you would support ending the filibuster in part because of this this shutdown. If the shutdown goes away, are you still interested in getting rid of the filibuster or at least limiting it for other purposes?
Well, we've seen how obstructive and obnoxious Democrats have been. They weren't allowing President Trump to staff his administration, so we had to change the rules so we could at least staff his administration. Now with this unbelievably obnoxious shutdown that didn't have to happen, it's pretty obvious that the Democrats, the strategy is they don't want the American economy to succeed because they think President Trump and Republicans get credit. They're just interested in power. So they have no respect for the filibuster. They purged the two Democrat senators who prevented them from ending the filibuster last time they had a chance. I agree with President Trump. The moment the Democrats have a chance to end the filibuster to maintain their power, that's why they, you know, packed the Supreme Court, more Democrat senators.
But so when did, I'm sorry, when did they pack the Supreme Court? Senator Johnson, when do. You just said they packed the U.S. Supreme Court? When?
Yes, that's what they said they would do. Yeah, no, they've laid their plans out there. It's pretty obvious. So, you know, if Republicans end the filibuster, it'll be for the benefit of the American public, you know, to fully secure the border, to secure our elections, to have a prosperous economy, to hopefully repair the damage done by Obamacare and transition to a system that works. We'll pass legislation that benefits America. Democrats, they're just going to pass legislation that consolidates their power.
Senator Johnson, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Have a great day.
We've been talking to Republican U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. He joined us today to talk about the government shutdown negotiations in Washington, some movement yesterday on the shutdown, a possible path forward. Last week, U.S. Representative Mark Pocan, Democrat from Madison, spoke with us, and we want to hear from you. Has this shutdown affected your life in some way? Are these marketplace subsidies going away affecting you? Are you looking to sign up now and seeing those costs? We'd love to hear your experiences. Also, if you're a federal worker who's been affected by the shutdown, you can email us, wisconsintoday@wpr.org. That's wisconsintoday@wpr.org.